Good to be here today, as always. And we always enjoy coming because this is a good church. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. This is a good church. And you need to believe it. Because if you don't believe it, nobody else is going to believe it. But it is a good church. It's solid, it's sound, it's stable. You got pastors that love you. This is a good church. This is a good place to grow. And each year when we come down here, Roger asks that we'll share something in the morning service, and typically Dan has been the one that's represented us, and I may have had a word or two to say in greeting, but or a prophecy or something, but this time Dan looked at me and he says, I think you're the one that's supposed to share. And so I thought, okay, so I prayed and I said, Lord, do you have a word for Dodge Center? And he did.
Awesome.
He did. And this word is going to impact, once you get the revelation of this, it's going to impact the way you see your life, the way you see your ministry, the way you see your church, the way you function in your church. It's a pretty significant word. So you want to know what it is?
Yes.
Jesus is coming soon. Now, why do I know that? Because I've been watching Fox News. And I see how the world is in this downward spiral? No. I know it because the Bible tells me, right? And then the first verse I want you to go look at is Revelation 22 and verse 20. This is the way he ended the book. Revelation 22, 20. He who gives this warning and affirms and testifies to these things says, yes, it is true. Surely I am coming quickly, swiftly, speedily. Amen. So let it be. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, we're living at a time where everything is changing. Everything is shifting. The financial experts, the gurus, they don't know what to do with what we've got going here. There's upheaval, there's turmoil in the Middle East. All kinds of stuff is going on, and the problems are way bigger than any man or woman or politician or government could legislate or solve. Right? Do you agree?
Yes.
Amen. And the way we know that Jesus is coming soon is because God's given us signs in his word of his coming. And yesterday when we were driving down here, you know, we come out of our neighborhood, we don't have to think, no-brainer. Get on the highway, no-brainer, you know, because we've been there many times, that road. But as we are getting closer and approaching our destination, and we're getting a little bit closer and closer to that, we are really mindful of those signs. And one thing I'm concerned about is the church at large, there's a lot of sleeping going on, a whole lot of sleeping. And when you're sleeping soundly at night and you wake up, you hear a noise or you have to get a drink of water or whatever, and you wake up, what's the first thing you do? It's very simple. You roll over and you look at the clock. You say, what time is it? Once you're awakened, the first thing you look at is, what time is it? It's just part of who we are. And I really believe that once the church wakes up, they're going to see what time it is. They're going to see the times that we're in. And when you see the times that you're in and you realize the times that we're in, it really gives you a whole, it puts your priorities in order. So you're not so concerned about whether or not the people in your church are having a rip, snort, and good time at the pop blessing. But you're more concerned about if they've got the word of God planted in their heart and they know the voice of the good shepherd so they know who to follow,
yeah.
Right?
Good.
You're going to have your priorities for ministry. You're going to have your priorities for life in order when you realize the times and the seasons that we're in. And, you know, in the book of Revelations, the first chapter, verse 3, it tells us that this is the only book in the Bible that tells us that there's a blessing attached to reading it. And yet that's the book that a lot of us stay away from because we say we don't understand it. Didn't say we had to understand it. It just says read it. So For his divine power has, oh, that's 2 Peter. That's not going to work. Flip too far. Revelations 1:3. Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy, and to be envied are those who hear it and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. And so I believe that we should just read the book. You don't have to understand it. Don't shy away from it. Just read it and pray before you do that the Holy Spirit reveals to you the things that you need to know. And he's the revealer. It's his responsibility to reveal. It's my responsibility to just place myself before him, put my attention on his word, and then he does the rest. Amazing, right? And so I challenge you to read through the book of Revelations and just ponder over it and take notes, and then when you don't understand what the Bible says, come and ask Pastor Roger and he'll give you all the answers.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah. Dan had a question for you. You want to ask him that question?
No.
Yeah.
No.
He want, no, you ask it.
About the pillow?
Yeah.
Why did Jacob use a rock for a pillow and find that that worked for him? And why did it mention it in the Bible?
So, I think Andy knows the answer.
Yeah, Andy. He asked me that at 2 o'clock in the morning last night. Oh, okay. Okay. It's on. Okay. Why did he?
I'm assuming this is by the Holy Spirit, but.
I don't know if it is, but I did it.
I'm fixing my pillow last night sometime in the middle of the night, and I said to Linda, because I knew she was awake, I said, I always thought it was strange that the Bible said Jacob used a rock for a pillow. Why is that even in the Bible?
Yeah. So we said, we'll ask Roger. He'll know. No. Just having a little fun. We're living in the last days, and we need to keep our joy. And we need to keep our connection with him. Because that's what's going to sustain us. And I love the songs that we sang today. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. So when you're hearing all of this bad news, remember, he's more than enough.
Right.
When you don't know what the future holds, remember, he's in your future. I don't know what my life looks like around the corner. I just know that he's there waiting for me. And he's the one that's going to take me around that corner. He's the one that brought me here. He's the one that's sustaining me here. And he's the one that's going to take me into the future. He's more than enough. And the most important thing, I think, is that we stay connected to him. And we stay vitally united and learning his voice. And when you realize that it's late and that we're coming into some days, the Bible doesn't tell us that it's going to be easier. And I think there's a deception in the body of Christ that just thinks, especially American Christians, that think we're not going to go through anything tough. When it starts getting bad, poof, we're out of here. That's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that there's going to be some stuff that we go through. But he's more than enough to get us through it.
Amen.
And when we realize how late it is, it's going to shape the way we spend our day today. We're going to buy up the opportunities. There's neighbors that live next door to you that do not know Jesus Christ, and they're going to freak out when everything goes kaboom. But if you take these opportunities to use what you know about the scriptures to share your faith, to build your church, to make it a healthy church, to pray for your church, because you know that God is going to use this church and use this place and use you as members of this church to be an answer and to bring hope when there's hopelessness and there's anxiety. How many of you have heard teachings recently about the blood moons? Okay, there's enough of you that haven't heard it, so I'm going to just do a really brief overview. There's a man named Mark Biltz. He's a pastor. Several years ago, he was studying the passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2, that there would be signs in the heavens. The sun would be turned to darkness and the moon would be turned to blood. And he looked at that and he thought, I wonder if that could mean an eclipse. So he went to the NASA website and he saw that they called lunar eclipses, blood moons. He thought, wow, this is interesting. So he studied it out, and he found out that in the past 500 years, there's been three times where there were four lunar eclipses in a row, all falling on the feast days, the days of Passover and Sukkot. And he found out that the first time it happened was in 1492, the Spanish Inquisition, when they said all the Jews had to leave Spain, and they had like 10 or 12 days to get out. They couldn't take gold or silver or anything. They were destitute and in a desperate situation. And that's when Christopher Columbus, who is a Jew, was a Jew, sailed for America. Pretty interesting. God had an answer for those Jews. That was the first time that these blood moons, and there were four of them in a row, and it was referred to as a tetrad. The second time it happened was in 1948, right after the Holocaust, and when Israel became a nation. Happened on the four feast days. The next time it happened was in 1967, the Six-Day War, and Israel got Jerusalem back as their capital city. So there was very significant things that have happened when these blood moons, these lunar eclipses, take place on a feast day. The next time it's going to happen is in 12 weeks, is the first one, April 14th, Passover. And then it'll happen in the fall of the year. I believe it's September 28th or something like that, which is Sukkot. Then there'll be a solar eclipse, which is going to be sandwiched between the next two lunar eclipses, which is I don't think that's happened before, when there's been the solar eclipse in the middle. So between 2014 spring and 2015 fall, there will be four lunar eclipses and a solar eclipse sandwiched in between, and they will all fall on those feast days. God is saying something to the church. God is saying something to the nations, and God is saying something to the Jews. Now, it was in November of this year, and it was the weekend that we turned our clocks back. How many of you love that weekend? I do. Yay, we get an extra hour, you know. So we're turning our clocks back. Well, the night before, we're watching a movie on Channel 2 or something, one of those old Cary Grant movies, no commercials, you know. And I looked at the clock, and I said, oh, it was 11 o'clock. And I go, oh, goody, it's only 10 o'clock. How many, you've done that, right? We love the fall back. It's the spring ahead that is not we're too crazy about. And so we turned our clocks back. We went to bed. And the next morning, it was about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and got me my attention. This is what he does. Is if he wants to sneak up on me, so to speak, or tell me something I'm not asking him, he usually does it first thing in the morning when there's no other distractions. And I wake up hearing him say, I'm coming sooner than you think. It's later than you realize. Whoa. I was like, and then he started to talk to me, and he was giving me like phrases in like a bullet list, not like sentences and paragraphs, but he says, time, the way you interact with time is if you want it an hour earlier, you just all decide it's going to be an hour earlier. If you want it an hour later, you just decide it's going to be an hour later. He said, if you decide you want a holiday, you make it a law that it's Thanksgiving today, or it's the 4th of July, or it's Christmas, or it's Easter. He says, you come up with your holidays, I've got my feast days. I thought, that's interesting. He says, you go by a solar calendar, I go by a lunar. He says, you see a problem in your nation, you decide we're going to make a law to address this problem, and fund it. And somebody says, wait a minute, we don't have any money. No problem. We'll just print some. He said, you're living in a world or a realm of you take control and convenience, and whatever you want, whatever you need, you just do it. And he said, it's desensitized you from the way I function, from the kingdom of God, and the way I perceive time. He says, I work in fixed and appointed seasons and times, which is a Hebrew word that means moed, or it's moed, which means fixed and appointed times. Well, I was like, whoa. And I was, it just came so fast. So I get up out of bed and I'm just trying to remember everything he said and process it. And there was this stirring on the inside of me, because in the last couple years, the Lord's been dealing with me about stuff like this. And when I talk to people about it, they don't like it because it's upsetting. How many of you love the sound of your alarm clock when you're sleeping? We don't. That bam, 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 bam. You just want to hit the thing, roll over, fall back to sleep, right? And that's where the church is at. The Holy Spirit is sounding an alarm and giving us a warning, but we don't want to hear it. We just want to roll over and take another 5-minute snooze. But God is giving us signs, and he told us that he would do this in the scriptures. And I'm not telling you this because NASA said we're having 4 blood moons. I'm saying this because the Bible tells us that he was going to reveal his plan and his purpose and his seasons and his times to us through the planets. And you can look in Genesis. Go ahead, do it right now. Genesis 1, verse 14. Genesis 1:14. It says it all in that one verse. You could read the whole passage. I think it's fascinating how God created light on the first day and the planets on the fourth day, but don't get that. But Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and tokens of God's provident care and to mark season, days, and years." So he put the moon and the stars there to light the day and the night, to measure time. Here's a day, here's a week, here's a month, here's a year, and as signs. Now that word sign means a signal as a flag. So you could say the heavens, the planets, are like God's billboard or God's communication system. When he's wanting us to see something and know something, he's going to show us in the heavenlies. Look at Jesus. What happened when Jesus came to earth? There was a star. There was the star of Bethlehem. And who discovered that star? The wise men. They weren't Jews, you know that? They weren't Pharisees. They weren't Sadducees. They were scientists, astrologers, and they were probably from Babylonia. They came from a far distance, Iran, right? Which one is Iraq? Or I mean Babylon. Iraq. So they weren't like Christians or Jews that were looking for something to prove. These were scientists and astrologers of the day, the NASA of today. And so God marked Jesus' coming with a star. What happened the day he was crucified? It was dark for 3 hours. The sun was darkened for 3 hours. Solar eclipse, possibly. What is going to happen on his second coming? Signs in the heavens. And I want to show you two witnesses of that. And that is Joel 2. And verse 30. And then you can, if you want to look up Acts 2, it's a, I'm trying to find Joel. He's way back there. Yeah, that's good too, but where's Amos? I know, it's in the Old Testament. Here's Amos. Here's Joel. I found him. Yes, thank you. Joel 2:30 says, and you know, you should read this whole passage because this is a prophetic scripture, but he says, let me start in verse 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is none else. My people shall never be put to shame. And afterward I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even upon the men servants and upon the maid servants in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the remnant of survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. Then flip over to Acts chapter 2. And we see another where they were quoting this passage, this prophetic scripture. In verse 19 of Acts chapter 2, we'll just pick up at this part of it. It says, I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoking vapor. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the obvious day of the Lord comes, that great and notable and conspicuous and renowned day. So he's telling us that as we get closer to the end, we're going to be seeing signs in the heavenlies. Now, what significant thing is going to happen 2014, 2015? I don't know. I just know God's wanting to say something to us. And I think there's a possibility. This is just my opinion. This is just a possibility. But wouldn't it be awesome if this is when the Jews regain the Temple Mount and they can build the temple and that prophecy is fulfilled? They've got all of the garments. They've got all of the vessels. They've been training the priesthood. They're raising the red heifer. Everything is set and in place and ready to go. All they need is the actual temple. Huh?
They need an earthquake.
They need an earthquake, and it could be.
Because the Muslims would move, they see that as a god, an omen.
An omen among the Muslims that would move them?
That property is not good.
Okay.
They need to get away from it.
Wow. So, wouldn't that be interesting? Now, is Jesus coming in 2015 for us? I don't know. I just know he's coming. And the Bible says he's coming soon. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to say he's coming soon. And we're supposed to believe he's coming soon. And if he doesn't come, like, rapture us in our lifetime, this is our last lifetime. And it's the only one we've got. And we need to buy up the opportunities. And we need to be living our life in a way that makes a difference in the lives of other people. And when you're just like going along, you know, living life, and you're just all concerned about your stuff and your things and your fun and your comfort, you don't live in line with the kingdom. But when we see that people are perishing and they are without hope, we're going to share the good news. We're going to let our light shine. And God is going to use things besides just Bible studies and prayer meetings to do it. We get him, we put him in such a box. One of the things the Lord has done with me is he's given me an ability to connect with people because of a hobby that I had. And it's totally, I mean, it was a God hobby. I mean, it's something that God orchestrated and drew me into. But it's something like painting. And so I've had more opportunities to share my faith through that hobby than I have had in a long time. God will use your talents, your hobbies, your skills. If you give those things to him and let him have expression through those, you'll be able to use those things to let your light shine, to get people saved. And when you realize it's late, I don't care what you say, what people think. They're not going to fix the $17 trillion debt. It's just going to get bigger and bigger, and something eventually is going to go boom. And is that the pre-tribulation sign from Revelation chapter 6, the famine, the black horse? I don't know, but I'm thinking it might be. The world that we're living in is like going downward like this. And these are the worst of times, but they're the best of times. And they're the best of times for those of us that stay connected to him and know that Christ is enough, no matter what I'm facing. God is able to do super abundantly, exceedingly above and beyond anything that I could ask or even dare think. And so we need to stay awake. We need to wake up. We need to be alert. You got something? So, and it's exciting. And the other thing is a lot of times when Christians hear end time teaching, they get scared. Oh, I don't want to hear this. Oh, I don't. We had a lady in our church once that the minute you would say, turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, Matthew 24, Luke 21, or Revelations, she just freak. It's God is coming and he's establishing justice. Jesus is coming and he's going to be setting up his millennial kingdom. That is awesome. And justice is going to be done. And these people that have been martyred and these people that have been persecuted, it's going to be, things are going to be set right. It's a good thing. It's an exciting time to be alive. But we're only going to see it exciting if we're not, if we're drawing our strength and our grace and our connection is secure with him. So I'm not saying don't watch the news. I'm not saying don't listen to the radio. But if it's making you scared or it's making you worried or it's making you do wacky, crazy things, then turn it off and tune in. Because this is where your strength and this is where your hope has come from. So the word of the Lord to Dodge Center is Jesus is coming soon. Sooner than we think, and it's later than we realize. And he has graced us and equipped us to live at this time. He planned for us to be here at this time. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And God's given us what we need. And this is not the time for you to retire. Oh, I've served in my church. I've served in my ministry for 62 years. Well, that's too many years. Then it would be time for you. 32 years, whatever. God has been shaping you, grooming you, training you, equipping you, establishing you in the doctrines of the faith and in the walk of the Spirit for such a time as this. Don't bail. There's wisdom in you guys, and there's experience in you that is needed in this day and in this hour. Don't think this is the time for me to, oh, I just need to retire. No, just get reconnected, refire, and go for it. Because the only time we retire in the kingdom of God is when we've breathed our last breath and we're home. Then we're retired. So, Jesus is coming soon. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen.